This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everybody? It's Friday the 13th, full moon and all, and episode number 13. So we have 13-13. I'm not sure we're going to make it through this, Fred. Last time we had a 13, things kind of went to shit.
Yeah, it did, but we're not reviewing Border Town.
No, we're not. That is locked away in the street level floppy vaults. Maybe someday that episode will see the light of day. But I could say we were like psychics. We knew that thing was going somewhere bad, and within a week, it went somewhere bad.
Yeah, I think karma got somebody.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's move on from that scary experience and see if we can get through this. No blackouts, no craziness, no one turns into a werewolf. well, cool. Some good comics this week. We're going to review three from three different diverse publishers, and we're going to go ahead and get into them right now. Going to the Chapel number one. It was the wedding from hell, and that was before the bank robbers showed up. What do a conflicted bride, her dysfunctional family, a gang of Elvis-themed crooks, and one relentless sheriff have in common? They're all about to discover love is the ultimate hostage situation. Written by David Peepos. Art by Gavin Guidry. Colors by Liz Kramer. Lettered by Ariana Mayer. Cover by Lisa Stirl. Variant covers by Manhouse and Gavin Guidry. Published by Action Lab. Going to the Chapel. I may have messed up some names there.
Going to the Chapel. If you've read Spencer and Locke, you already know what you're getting into with David writing this book. Let me tell you, I really dig this book, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the book starts off with lyrics, and the lyrics are from the song Going to the Chapel by the Dixie Cups. So when I immediately seen that, I went to my Spotify, I opened it up, and I was thinking, what soundtrack has that song on it? And sure enough, Full Metal Jacket, here I am. I crank it up. I start reading the book while it's playing, and I instantly got a Tarantino vibe from this book.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like a Reservoir Dogs vibe. Maybe it's the suits, the bad Elvis guys are wearing, but that's what I really like about this book, first and foremost. And then secondly, you know, the heist scene and things like that. But you know what I really like this book about is excuse me, Grandma Harriet. I could hang out with Grandma Harriet, because Grandma Harriet's looking, she mentions things like you should have a side piece or something to that effect. And you know, you can see David's his comedy, especially if you read like Spencer and Locke, because there's a lot of funny parts in this book. I really enjoy the book. What do you think about the book, Andrew?
Yeah, there's a lot of humor. The family is humorous. You have your typical, almost like what you'd see in movies. You have the typical father yelling, screaming, everything has to be perfect. The mom was kind of fun. She's kind of checking out the help, looking at some derrieres and seeing which butt she liked the best. The sister has her own thing going. So there was a lot of humor. But like you, yes, Tarantino. But I thought The Bride, the first Kill Bill, is what came to mind when I first thought. And I thought, oh, man, this is going to be like The Bride, man. They're going to come in there and they're going to shoot it up. And they're going to kill the groom, or they're going to kill the bride, or something like that's going to happen. So I was really happy to see that they didn't go that obvious route, and they did a nice twist there. But it's really fun. I see what you see with the what's it called, the Reservoir Dogs, because they're all in the suits and then the masks and things like that. Well written, nice quick read. The art is really cool. It captures a lot of the facial expressions. It captures the apathy on the bride herself's face. She is not into this wedding, man.
No, because like when they broke into the chapel and they broke through the doors, and she was like, I think she said like, thank God.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I got like Mance Warner, and I'm like red light on. I'm like, yeah. Is she like in on this heist? Is she part of it? I mean, because What did they take, like a $250 million necklace or something? And yeah, it's missing. So, you know, I'm wondering if she's part of it, but I'm also wondering, like, her soon-to-be husband. He seems just really boring, and, you know, like, girls like bad guys, you know? They like those troublemakers. Yeah. They don't like the dude that's drawing a 16 chap or whatever the hell he was doing.
I think he's shady. Personally, I think he might have something to do with the necklace, because that's the twist, is that those guys really aren't there for the necklace. That's where they fooled you. And there's a scene in the bar when he's looking up at the television, that one guy. And you kind of, it gives you the hint that it's not about the necklace, why he's there for the heist. He's there to steal the bride.
Yeah.
His feeling. So that was pretty cool. That was a nice little trick.
You know what else I really like about this book is at the end, the sheriff, and I'm a big fan of Sam Elliott, and he looks like Sam Elliott. So I'm like, when he starts to talk, I'm going to picture Sam Elliott talking, because I don't know, man. He's like, he's a badass to me, like the Wyatt Earp movies and things like that that he was in. Mm-hmm. Did you get that feel with him?
I didn't think of it right away, but now I'm going to read it in his voice. That's for sure. I'm going to hear Sam's deep old voice.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. But just to like piggyback off like you said about the art, I really like the art. It seemed really clean, and especially like the facial expressions that the artist gave a lot of these characters really captured their characteristics. It's done really well, and I can't wait to read issue two.
Yeah, it's a great book. It reads fast. It captures the action, keeps it moving. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm curious to see how this all ends up. I have my theories, and I don't want to spoil right off on book one, but I have my theories where it's going. All right, let's go on to book number two, Midnight Vista number one. Oliver Flores and his stepfather, Nomar Perez, were turning right onto Midnight Vista Road when they were both abducted by aliens. To Oliver's mother, they were both just missing. To the police, they were declared legally dead. And to everyone else growing up in Albuquerque, Oliver Flores was the milk carton kid. His life was the cautionary tale of an 8-year-old who was kidnapped and killed by his stepdad while out for some ice cream. But now, years later, a fully grown adult, Oliver walks back into the town. He has been returned, and he remembers everything, based on a very personal, true story from writer Elliot Roll. With Out of This World art from Clara Mirth, Midnight Vista will make you believe in little gray men. As we said, written by Elliot Rahl. I might be Raul. Is there,
oh. I say Rahal.
Rahal. Oh, there we go. Elliot Rahal, Clara Mirth, Mark Eglert, lettered by your favorite, Taylor Esposito, covered by Juan Doe, published by Aftershock, Midnight Vista.
Okay, when I seen that Elliot was writing another book for Aftershock, I immediately was like, put that on my pull list, because, you know, I'm a huge fan of Hot Lunch Special. This doesn't have mafia in it, but, you know, I can still get down with it. I like this book a lot. I listen to a lot of alien podcasts. I know that's going to sound weird, but I'm into, like, some certain conspiracy theory stuff, but not InfoWars shit. Don't get that twisted. But I really like this book, man. In the beginning, like the art and stuff, and the colors popping off and stuff. And Rahal's, like, if you ever read any book by Elliot, whether it's like Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe he wrote, I believe so. And then or, you know, like his Quantum and Woody. Things like that. He does really great dialogue, and I really dig this, because, like, you know, in the beginning where there's the mom's having the issues with her you know, former husband and stuff, and they're just bantering back and forth, and the son is, like, you know, turning the TV channel, and you can hear, like, certain things that are going, commercials back in the day, like the 90s, whatnot. I like that part of the book. I really like the part where he comes back to present day, and it kind of like reminded me a little bit of Encino Man a little bit.
Yeah.
But except he showed up on somebody's doorstep, well, the former house that he lived in and stuff. And, he was not welcome there. Say that. But yeah, man, I really like this book. Well, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel the same way. The dialogue is great. I do like how you said how he comes back. And when he comes back, he still has the mannerisms, the way he's drawn, and based on the dialogue, of a child. So he's not a grown man, even though he is a grown man. You know what I mean? So that was really cool. So we have this wide-eyed child who's interested in ice cream. He knows his name. He knows where he lives. But he really can't talk to you like an adult, even though he is an adult. So that was a really interesting way to present it. So we see what happened. I want to know what happened to the stepdad. So is the stepdad still up on the spaceship somewhere? And then you have the other stepdad hiding in the attic. What's up with that? Like, did something shady go down on his side of things? I mean, the real dad, not the stepdad.
I'm thinking right there that, you know, because he's living in Scottsdale, yeah. He's got a new life, and everyone knows you know, you live in Arizona, but Scottsdale is where all the rich people live and stuff. So
yeah, the new family.
He's hiding his past, and maybe his current wife didn't even know he had a son or things like that. You know what I'm saying? One of my favorite parts of this book was with the sheriff in this one? Yeah. The sheriff, when he gets a phone call and stuff, and he looks all frantic, yeah. And he's like, what the hell's going on? And, you know, the art really captures that moment with the dialogue as well. And the book is really good. I want to know more about, like, the probing and stuff. the good thing is that I didn't see any South Park stuff where there's anal probing or anything, yeah. But...
some pretty gross stuff.
But yeah, especially like the intestines and whatnot being pulled out of him and stuff. I'm like, wow. But yeah, this is a really good book. I highly suggest like picking up anything from Aftershock. I want to know more about, like, I listened to Martin's podcast, the Aftershock Central podcast, and I was listening to the things that he was discussing. And the reason why I listen to some of these podcasts is because Martin and Ronnie have told me that I should check them out. So now I've like kind of went down this crazy road where I'm like listening to all these podcasts about aliens. Like he mentioned about the last one that I listened to had some guy, like, these aliens drinking Clorox or something. And, yeah, it's some wild stuff, man. Andrew, you should get into this.
Give me nightmares and stuff.
I should ask you, do you believe in aliens?
Yeah, I'm sure there's something. I don't know if they're little gray men, but I guess everybody says they're little gray men, so maybe they are.
Now, because you live, in Arizona and stuff and not far from Phoenix, were you ever around? Like, did you see the Phoenix Lights stuff that everybody...
Not really. I didn't. But you'd hear about it, talk about... And then I'm actually from the 505. I am from Albuquerque. So, yeah, all the Area 51 stuff and everything. You know, everyone talks about New Mexico, about the aliens, because there's so much open space in New Mexico still, and it's dark as hell, you know? So you can have... It's really easy to believe in all kinds of scary stuff, supernatural and... alien based in Albuquerque.
Yeah. So maybe you're an alien.
I could be, but I would not use that word in Arizona because I could get me shot.
Oh, that's a different kind of alien.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. Yeah, but well, I didn't hear you say small talk after you came in when we're talking stuff like the end of this book, where the men in black said that, you know, it kind of, I found that comical and I like that humor, but, yeah, definitely check out this book, man.
Yeah,
it's a good book.
I love the art. I love the way she drew him, the boy. Now he's growing up with the long hair. He looks indigenous. You know what I mean? Straight hair. It looks like he'd be off the Navajo reservation or something. Which there's a lot of Navajo in Albuquerque. So it's pretty cool. All right. Let's move on to Something is Killing the Children. Number one, when the children of Archer's Peak begin to go missing, everything seems hopeless. Most children never return, but the ones that do have terrible stories, impossible stories of terrifying creatures that live in the shadows. Their only hope of finding and eliminating the threat is the arrival of a mysterious stranger, one who believes the children and claims to see what they see. Her name is Erica Slaughter. She kills monsters. That is all she does, and she bears the cost because it must be done. Written by James Tinian IV. Illustrated by Weather Delandera. Colored by Miguel Muerto. lettered by N World Design. You have variant covers by Jay Lee and June Chung, a variant cover by Jenny Friesen, and a variant cover by Joseph Schmeckel. Published by Boom Studios, Something is Killing the Children.
There are so many horror comics out there today, and many of which are good books, but there are very few that are great books. This book right here, it's great. It's lived up to the hype that everybody puts out on Twitter that I've seen, like, you know, if you happen to look at review scores, things like that. It's lived up to the hype. There's so much to like about this book. I don't even know where to get started. Maybe it's like where James Tynion like has himself drawn in this book. In the beginning, it's like a sleepover. And he's telling scary stories, and, you know, he starts getting into it, and everybody's getting amped up about it. And then you turn a page, and he's being questioned because something happened to these kids. So my immediate thought was that the story was going to, you know, take place and follow James throughout his life. But then I met Erica Slaughter. No relation to Sergeant Slaughter.
Nope.
But she, you know, I thought she was the bad person at first because, you know, I don't read the solicit, but I thought she was.
So based on the covers, you thought she was the killer?
Yeah, because, you see the pages where she has the machete and she's got blood all over, and then she's pulling a little kid in a wagon? Mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow, this is creepy as hell. But then when you get further along in the book and stuff, you notice that she's the good guy. And the book is probably, and it's going to follow Erica through on the next few issues. But another thing that I like about this book is, like, it captures middle school. And a lot of, like, how evil and bad middle school could be. And you kind of get the feel, you know, you're in Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure James is from Wisconsin himself. So he kind of drew a small town, Wisconsin, and he kind of put in some stuff that maybe he went through. I don't know. Because there's a lot of, you know, what do you call those kids?
Homophobia.
Yeah, there's a lot of homophobia in the book, and they're like, the kids' anger, because, you know, a lot of kids died from the school, and a lot of stuff is projected on James. And, you know, he tries to stand up for himself, but James is a little emo. So he's got some self-esteem issues, things like that. This book is deep, man. I don't want to keep talking about it because I'm sure you have a lot more points than I have to make, but go for it.
Yeah, you're right. Going into some of the James stuff, you have them at the sleepover, and it's obvious he's trying very hard to impress these kids. He doesn't want to lose this little bit of friends that he has already. So you kind of don't know, okay, is he making up the stories? Is he embellishing the stories? Is he just doing all this stuff so they'll believe him, so they'll accept him, to let him be part of their group? And it has a little bit of a Stranger Things feel, like what you said. You turn the page, and all of a sudden we're in it. We're in it deep, like something happened, and he's being questioned by the cops. You know, kind of like in Stranger Things, where at the beginning, the original Stranger Things, the boy's gone, and then we go from there, trying to figure out what happened to him. The girl, she's drawn so awesome. I mean, I've seen a cosplay of her already. This one girl nailed her. Beautiful cosplay. She's going to be a very popular character, you know, kind of like she's like hack and slash style, you know, she's a monster hunter, but more in a serious vein than hack and slash is. The middle school bullying is there. The principal's cool. I wouldn't mind a principal like that. That principal was pretty chill, and I had a good talk with the son, with the kid, you know, and didn't call his parents. That was really cool. The hype, like you said, I was worried about this book. I even told you about it. I go, should we do it? Everybody's going to probably do it. It's the book to do. It's James Tynion, big DC guy. This is Mr., you know, Detective Comics, going to the indies, and everybody's like hyping. And you try to you wonder, okay, is this really going to be that? But there's no doubt about it. This book is really well done and really well written, and you just got to know what's next. It's scary. It's interesting. The characters are interesting. Your hero is interesting. If you guess, you could call her a hero. And we still don't know what the monster is. So that was pretty brutal. His like memories of what happened to the kids.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a PG book, I would say. Yeah.
It's definitely a dark book. A lot of blood. And I mean, the book's already on its fourth printing last time I checked. It was on a second printing before it even came out.
Yeah. I was even worried. I bought an extra. I mean, I wanted a variant, but I also bought an extra copy in shop because I get a lot of my books through the mail because I was concerned, well, what if they run out? Because that's happened before. And then I don't even get a copy. So I'm going to make sure I grab another one at the shop. So I have two copies. I didn't get the freezing variant, though. Damn it. I really wanted that. They were already gone. And I got there at 10 o'clock, and someone walked in the store and got them before me. It happens.
Definitely go pick up that book if you haven't. But I'm pretty sure, like most people, if you're reading indies, you probably definitely picked up that book.
It was impossible to miss. I mean, everyone, like I said, to the point, like I said, unless you did what I was thinking, where you're like, everybody's telling me this is great, so it's probably not that great. It's probably just hype. It's not hype. It's legitimately a good book, and I would recommend it highly. And if it stays at this pace, it'll probably be one of the books of the year, without a doubt.
That's true.
Well, Fred, you said you had a few other books you wanted to hit that I may have not read or I did read, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, but these books didn't come out this week. Some are way back, you know, because I got a kind of backlog because of how many indie books I read. But I want to hit up three books that I recently read, and it's not going to be like, you know, the obvious choices like Crowded or Ice Cream Man. These might be titles that you haven't checked out that you probably should be checking out. And one book that you definitely need to be checking out, and I know you do, Andrew, is Excellent. It's Excellence is in its fourth issue right now. Mm-hmm. It's already been optioned for a TV show for Amazon Prime. And it's written by Brandon Thomas, was it Cary Randolph, Emilio Lopez on colors, and Duran Bennett for letters. And that's a Skybound imprint from Image. And let me tell you, for a person that doesn't like magic, I'll read this. I'll definitely read this magic book because it's so good. Another book I read was Red Winter. It's two issues in. It's a crime noir. It's a kind of Russian mob book. It's written by Michael Gordon. Artist Francisco Munoz. Colors Roland Colinas. Letters Nikki Sherman. And that's a Scout Comics book. That's a definitely winner. And of course, my third book, and I know you're reading this one too, is Killers. It's two issues in. It's from Valiant. Writer B. Clay Moore.
Valiant rocks.
What's that?
Valiant rocks.
Yeah. Artist Fernando Dagnino, and then colors Jose Villarubia, and letters Jeff Powell. For this book, if you like, would you say like the Ninjak universe, or if you if you watched James Bond and you love James Bond stuff,
that would be a better description. I would say the James Bond, because if you've never read Ninjak, you may not realize that he's more than just a ninja, that he's a, you know, special forces, a spy for for the British government.
Or if you like Batman and you like that type of stuff, it's like would you say like he's like, it's like a cross between Batman meets James Bond?
Yeah, gadgetry and skills, maybe Batman, but definitely not Batman's attitude.
Oh no,
Ninjak's a happy guy. He's more of a James Bond attitude. Yeah,
yeah,
he's enjoying life. Yeah,
yeah, but those are definitely like three books that people should be checking out. Yeah, those are some pretty good books.
Yeah, there's so much out there. We can't hit it all. Don't think because we don't like it. We try to hit some of the newer stuff. Kind of focus on some things that not everyone's talking about. Unless the book is just outstanding, we know we need to hit it because, well, we like talking about it because we liked reading it. So, pretty simple. Well, I think that's it for the comics. We're going to go ahead and jump into our wrestling for this week. It's time to wrestle, nerds. Okay, who are we wearing today?
It's like a old school 70s Mexican wrestler. I forgot his name at the moment, but...
It's big on you, so the mouth looks like a clown.
That's what it is. Kinda, it's a clown. It's like a clown. Mexican wrestler.
Ah, yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be a clown or not, so it's making sure.
It's the original when the addiction started in AAA.
The clowns. So now it's all clowns.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's time to wrestle. Joey's here. He's telling me about his clown mask. we can get into all the stuff that happened. It was kind of a slow week, I would say.
Yeah.
Not a lot went down. But we'll kind of go around, and we'll go around the wrestling world, and we'll each kind of hit a couple things for each promotion. Well, not each promotion, but a bunch of the promotions. And well, I'll go ahead and start with ROH. There was a lot of those Honor Club shows on ROH, and those are hit or miss. They're kind of like really good episodes of like the way Raw is, I guess I would say. So they load them with stars, but they don't necessarily have a lot of impact on what's going on. And they kind of sometimes are a bunch of group matches thrown together, like three guys versus three guys. The only thing that really I enjoyed was good old Joe Hendry. I mean, Joe Hendry had a great match against Marty Scurll. So you had two UK guys going at it. And it was a very good match. And Hendry had him beat. And they had some gimmicky, goofy thing where Dalton Castle came out and distracted him. So then Scurll came up behind him and put him in a submission move and beat him. But the reality is he beat him. And the day before, Joe Hendry had beaten the TV title guy. Who's the TV title guy right now?
Shane Taylor?
Yeah, Shane Taylor.
Shane Taylor. He beat Shane Taylor. Well, he didn't beat him. They went to a time limit draw, which earned Joe Hendry a title shot at the TV title. So Hendry's kind of getting a push. And so he was probably the best thing I saw of the weekend. Lifeblood beat the Briscoes to earn some kind of title match, I think. But other than that, it was kind of blah. I didn't get it. The luchadors from CMLL did not, or CMLL, did not mix in very well, I would say. And maybe being that far into the Midwest, no one knew who the hell they were. So the crowd was flat in any match that involved them. So that was kind of my take on ROH. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Allure still suck. all right, AAA.
So, you know, I'm the AAA guy. So, Octagon Jr. Will be returning in Sunday, September 15th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you don't know who that is a.
Wait, no, that's not right.
What? Oh, he's returning October 19th. Wrong date. There's two of them.
That's all right.
If you don't know who Octagon Jr. is, it's Kalisto. Who's with the WWE right now with the Lucha House Party. Lucha, the Piñatas. and then they also have, AAA also has a pay-per-view on September 15th. 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's called Lucha Libre AAA Invades New York.
And they team with Impact on that.
Actually, there's a with, if you want something like, there will be on the match card, there's supposed to be a Lucha Bros versus LAX.
Ooh. Can they be the LAX? I guess they can be LAX on this match.
Beat whoever they want. Mm-hmm. It's a questionable. You really don't know. It's really...
All right, Red, go ahead and tell us what happened on Impact.
Well, the biggest news for Impact is Anthem, the parent company of Impact Wrestling, bought Access. And if you don't know what Access is, Access currently shows New Japan Wrestling and Women of Wrestling. Wow. Right now. So it looks like Impact Wrestling has found a home, and they'll start airing in October.
When everyone else is airing. Jeez, October's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And besides that big news, there is like a match that stood out from September 6th, last Friday's Impact show for me is, what was it? Jessica Havoc versus Su Yung. And if you want to see good women's wrestling, I definitely suggest that you should check that out, because the storytelling and the storyline of that rivalry has been done exceptionally well. I highly suggest, like, if you're into good storytelling, definitely check that out, especially if you like to see like women getting pushed and getting over in the wrestling industry, because they're doing it right there.
Yeah, they are so good. They have one of the best women's division in all of wrestling. There's no doubt. All right, I'm into AEW, and I'd say nothing happened on AEW. I watched the All Elite videos. I watched the Road to TNT videos. A little hype here and there. I guess the only thing I would consider news is Cody kind of teased that we might get a Shivani, Jim Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Calling a match together.
They said that that would be normal commentary for the show or something.
No, he hinted that it just might be something special. But again, he kind of did this thing where they talked. And then Shivani goes, I don't know, you tell me, you're the boss. And then Cody looks at the camera and goes, I'm winking. And then it cut. And that was the end of the show.
Okay.
So they're making their typical, you know, BTE type jokes. So they're not committing to yes or no. And the other thing is, I guess the buy rate for this last pay-per-view was not as good as Double or Nothing. And people are making a big deal about it. And I think, personally, it's what you said, Fred. I think the fact that Mox dropped out, it did hurt the buy rate. Because the one thing that is interesting is they got more buys in the UK than they got last time. So there were more people in the UK that bought this pay-per-view than bought Double or Nothing. Pac was in this pay-per-view. So maybe the UK was more interested in this because of Pac, where the American fan, without Moxley, maybe lost a little interest and some of them didn't pay the $50. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting thought.
Yeah, I think that's probably it right there because, you know, we were all looking forward for Kenny versus Moxley, and Moxley had his, what is it, MRSA or something?
Yeah, MRSA.
So he can't wrestle. But yeah, man, that was the match I was definitely looking forward to because we didn't know who was going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll find out next month or is it 2 months?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's next month. Next pay-per-view. No, I think it's 2 months. I think it's in November.
So it's at that Full Gear thing?
Yes.
Yeah, the Full Gear. So it's 2 months. He's probably not completely cleared yet. I mean, if he had his bursa sac removed, that takes a little while to recover from. So there's probably a little bit of what's it called? Physical therapy that he has to go through to get back. But yeah, everyone's making a big deal. So what? So it didn't do as well. The numbers are going to start slowing. They're not selling out all the shows like they were before in one day and all that kind of stuff. It's just that's the way it was going to stop eventually.
Right.
So, but it did well. I think it's kind of interesting that the UK, they had New Japan in town and they had NXT UK in town that same weekend, and they still bought the hell out of All In, or All Out, excuse me.
Right, and they mentioned, I did see the thing that the numbers isn't up for Bleacher Report yet, so this is only based upon, like, the Fight app, right?
Yeah, but I guess Bleacher Report didn't come in as good as they thought either.
Okay.
So I guess just it didn't do the same numbers that the last one did, in the U.S.
Yeah.
In the U.S., but it's not like they did crap numbers. They just didn't do as well.
Right.
All right. So, Joey, what about MLW?
Okay, MLW, I feel like it was a little bit of a slower week, but I don't know. But my favorite part.
I got to interrupt real fast. Okay. We made a trade here. We made a trade. I gave you that, man. You better love it. You better hype it.
I felt like
you better be an MLW mark.
I always look forward to watching MLW, but I feel like it was a little slower. But
it was a little slow.
Because I'm looking forward to next week. War Chamber.
It was because of the pay-per-view, probably.
Yeah. But my favorite part was the last match, main event, Go Sasaki versus Alexander Hammerstone, and the Pillman match close second. But I like how they're introducing the new talent, the Noah guys, like slowly, and they're also doing the same thing with the Mexican Crash guys, and eventually it's gonna be like everybody's gonna be flipping everywhere, like there's the Japan talent and the Mexican talent on the same show, MLW guys in Japan and on the Mexico show.
It's smart. It's smart. Yeah. That's how you do it. I think ROH needs to get it together. It seems like they're playing catch up.
Yeah.
Where MLW and Impact seem to be taking advantage of their Yep. Their deals.
The MLW thing, they said that Sasaki was mentored by Kenta. I mean, yeah. When I seen him, I was like, he's kind of dressed like Kenta. Like, he's got the shorter, like, shorts, and his hair is like Kenta. Like, you know, it's, like, put up like that. Like, when he was in NXT, that's what I felt like, but...
I liked it.
Yeah.
Do you miss Cornette?
Yes, I do miss Cornette. Oh, and the Conan thing was something new. Like, they took the phone from Conan, so there's not going to be any more big matches like that.
It's been a bad week from Conan because he also lost, what's it called? LAX lost on Impact.
Yeah.
Conan's just, he lost his money makers, and then now he's getting jumped by the guys that he used to help out back in the day. Now he has no more power.
Nope, it's gone. All right, now for the big one, the one we're going to focus on this week, Fred, New Japan.
Two big things happened in New Japan this, at, what was it, Royal Quest? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Royal Quest. Kenta defeated Tamahiro Ishii for the Never Openweight title, and Tanahashi defeated Zack Sabre Jr. for the Rev Pro Wrestling British Heavyweight title. And should I mention that Robbie Eagles and Ospreay are...
Yeah, I was going to get into that, but yeah, you can mention it, that they're a tag team.
Yeah, and they're challenging for the, what's it, the junior IWGP tag team titles.
I heard that you were hating on that match.
I was a little. I wasn't...
You were hating on that match.
I you know what? Ospreay seemed to be like goofing. I don't know if he was too excited to be home. Like, he was jumping around and yelling and waving his arms around and, like, too pumped up. He had a little bit of Macho Man in him or something, you know? He was just too, like, and I was like, man, that's not normally Ospreay. He's usually, like, go about his business. I don't know if it's because they were in England, because I was going to get into that. That's one of my questions. What did you guys think? The English fans are so different. Like, first of all, they love the shit out of that strong style.
Yeah.
Because they love the main event. Yeah. They really were into the main event and all that hard slapping and all the hard shots. And they were hot for all that stuff. So maybe I also felt Juice acted a little sillier than he normally acts. And I felt like maybe he was playing to the English crowd. Stuff that doesn't work in Japan. Like some of his stuff that he would use, say, in stateside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What'd you guys think of that?
Yeah, I've seen that stuff where like he was more flamboyant acting and things like that. Yeah, I think it's more accepted. I don't know if, like, Japanese, if it's accepted. You know, like, in Mexico, AAA, that's definitely accepted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the Ospreay thing, I think he's home. He's probably going to be drinking a lot, having beers. And to answer your question about, like, the crowd and stuff, you know how the soccer fans get, the hooligans. So you put a couple of pints in them and stuff, and they're ready to brawl anybody. And I'm just surprised no one took off their shoes and started doing chants with that, because that's something the English do a lot of, too.
They were hot for everything. They were hot for Tranquilo. That you could hear them. It was funny that he listened to them mispronounce Tranquilo.
Yeah.
Tranquilo. Tranquilo.
The crowds are different everywhere.
Yeah. But it was... Go ahead.
I can't take you serious with that mask on.
Okay. speaking of them hard shots, you want to talk about the Kenta thing where he hit his head on the ground?
Yeah, that was a pretty serious concussion. Should have that continued or should have that ended?
I think it should have ended just for a safety, because the lights were on, no one was home. Man, I don't know. Is it like, okay, like the one part where he went to kick the guy or kick Ishii, and he looked, he seriously looked like Orange Cassidy, because he had no strength, no coordination, nothing. I mean, he knew what he was supposed to do, but he had like no control of it. And then when he went to power slam him, boy, that was just terrible. Like, I don't know.
And they kept hitting each other. I don't know if you saw. They sat down on the ground across from each other. And were exchanging slaps.
Yeah.
And Ishii slaps the heck out of you. Those are not it was pretty bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. G.O.D. came out there. I think G.O.D. came out there to just try to end it. Maybe that wasn't the original, the way it was going to end.
Well, when he joined Bullet Club, they were like his mentors to get in, I want to say. So I want to say that they're going to be with them for a while, just like standing, like maybe managing, like standing outside the ring, doing that type of thing, because I think that's how he got in.
They have a ton of titles, if you think about it.
I want them to bring back Bullet Club.
They have both tag team belts. They have Kenta's belt. The only one that they don't have is, what, Tanahashi and the heavyweight belt. And Ospreys.
Junior.
They predominantly have it but three.
That's interesting that you say that, because one question I had here is, do you think Bullet Club is slipping? Because it feels like they don't have that.
Not as much aura as they used
once
to.
Had. You know what I mean? It's not like when you see Bullet Club, it's like, oh shit, it's Bullet Club.
Right.
Yeah, that's you know how it mean? Used to feel. But now it's like, oh, here comes that guy.
Yeah. Or those clowns. You don't get the same, you know, like the way Contra is rolling through MLW now, for example.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, here comes these guys. They're going to, something's going to happen.
I think Chaos is going to get a push, especially with the Eagles and Ospreay and Okada. Mm-hmm. I think that's the faction that they're gonna put over. Because right now when I watch like Bullet Club, I see G.O.D. They look, they're probably the best product that they have, even though that, you know, Jay White is a great wrestler, but people like the shit talking and the stuff that G.O.D. has to offer.
Yeah, G.O.D. is very over. White, someone made a point to me that he's one of the best heels in the business. Like, he's a true heel. He's not a heel that people like.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, MJF, they cheer him.
Yeah.
People like him. Where Jay White, literally, people do not like him. But not in a Corbin way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Corbin, you don't want him on your screen.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
They're like, why is he even here? He sucks.
Yeah.
But like,
no, with Jay White, it's more like you just want to see him get beat.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I like Jay White. I don't think there's something missing to him or something missing to Bullet Club.
So who do they get? You think they can pull somebody from somewhere else? Or is there somebody there that they could turn that would make things interesting?
You mean add somebody to Bullet Club?
Yeah.
Kota Ibushi? He's the only guy that's like gone forever without a faction.
Are you hinting that John Moxley could join them?
That'd be pretty wild if that happened. I just don't see him being a joiner, but that would be pretty wild.
Right? Because he has the it factor.
Yeah, and that would be instant.
People would be like, what? He joined Bullet Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely. Yeah, I like that. So let's go back to the Birds of Prey. Even though I gave him a hard time.
The Birds of Prey.
Isn't that what they're called?
Hmm?
Ospreay. And,
oh, I don't know. I was thinking Eagles? Of the DC comic book. Like...
No. No, at the end, he said that. Ospreay said, we're the Birds of Prey or something like that.
Okay.
So that's what they're calling themselves. You know, Eagle and Ospreay.
Right. I get it.
So back to them. They did do some really cool moves together. They did a lot of the kind of stuff that you see from the Bucks and the Lucha Bros and stuff. So what do you think? Would you can put them in your top five this early?
As a tag team?
Tag team.
Not yet.
Hell yeah, I would.
Yeah, but not number one. They'd be like five.
No, I didn't say number one.
They could even be five.
They would be five.
Yeah. It's too early. It's too early for them. But as individuals, wow. Those guys are great.
They did do a lot of great moves.
Yeah.
I will give them that. They did do a lot of amazing. I just don't know if there's anyone really to give them, to make them look good. You need that other team to make them look good. So what, are they going to have to fight G.O.D.? That would be the next step then.
No. Who is it?
Yo and Sho.
Yo and Sho, but those guys, no.
They've been pushed down a
El Phantasmo
bit.
And
Was
the Bone Crusher?
No, it used to be Bone Soldier, but now it's his real name.
Tamahiro.
I'll think about it.
But that tag team right there, that was the current tag team champs. That's a good matchup. El Fantasmo was perfect for, you know, Ospreay, because both of them are from England.
They're tall.
And you know what?
They're tall. They're like the same height.
But yeah,
yeah. Eagles is small. You don't realize it until you see it.
Well, small in the ring, but I think he's like 6'2".
Yeah. Yeah, big.
We got the return of the Tokyo Pimp at New Japan.
Who's the Tokyo Pimp?
You don't know Tokyo Pimp? He's in Bully
Club. No, tell me who the Tokyo Pimp.
So, Yujiro Takahashi. It's the Tokyo Pimp. He usually comes out with a bunch of girls, and he's like smaller talent in Bullet Club.
Nice. Okay. And well, remember, I'm new to Bullet Club. So I don't know all these little guys because they weren't in part of the G1. So I've been watching all the big guys.
Oh, yeah. You started. Yeah.
So, you know, interesting on this is there were streaming issues. And I don't know if you guys noticed it on yours. Like the audio went out. Like you listened to it in English, right?
Yeah.
And like one guy's mic went out for a while, and then the other guy's mic went out for a while. And I guess this happened all throughout the show. They charged people for this one. It wasn't on our app like normal.
Right.
And so there was a lot of complaints like, okay, you charged us $30.
But,
and this thing kept crapping out during the live thing of it.
But they should have waited and just paid $9.99 like us.
They should have. They should have, but it's a bad look. You think, you know, if you're going to try to do that, if you're going to put your show out on the same day that WWE and AEW are going to put a show out, man.
Yeah.
You got to put your best foot forward.
That's
true. It might be a little something they missed. One last thing I want to go with G.O.D. and Aussie Open. I had never seen Aussie Open, and I'm in love with those dudes.
I don't like them.
Where can I see them some more? They were so good.
What is it? Beyond Wrestling? The one that you can buy, I think it streams on Fight TV on, like, what is it called, though? It's called something Territory. They changed the name, but it's
Uncharted Territory.
Yeah. So they do a lot of stuff there. Also, like, another good time to watch them is during WrestleMania week.
Yes.
Because I think they were on, like, 5 shows that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like them. Joe doesn't. I don't know. Joe's a hater.
They remind me a lot of War Raiders.
What?
They had that same kind of big guys. They also had some athletic ability. They could do a little bit of, you know, flying. Strong. Yeah. You know, very believable that they could toss you around and kick your ass. I was really impressed. I liked them. Because we have so many little flippy guys now. It was nice to see a strong team.
Yeah.
I don't like them. So,
what don't you like about them?
Because they're Australian?
No, because I love Robbie Eagles.
I'm just kidding. It's have a kangaroo punch you in your face. You say that again.
I like Outback Steakhouse.
You like Outback Steakhouse?
Another shrimp on the barbie. All right. Well, unless you have anything else on Royal Quest, I had a couple of other questions I was going to toss out there about something else. But is there anything else you wanted to add to that, Fred?
No. I thought the show overall was good. I like the booking, and you know the last match was pretty good too. Like you mentioned, it was like a slugfest and stuff. And Okada's been getting in a lot of those lately, so it's making him look more powerful and stuff, and worthy of being a champ. So you know, it's New Japan's continues to book their guys correctly.
All right, so I have an Impact question for you real fast. So with the announcement of this new TV deal, do they stay on Fridays and go head-to-head with SmackDown?
No.
Oh, yeah, SmackDown's on Fridays. Forgot.
They can't. I don't think it's a wise choice. I say put them on Thursdays. Because currently, like, we don't have access anymore. But
I don't even have access where I live.
But
so.
When we had it, I thought it was, like, Wednesdays was New Japan. Was Wednesday or Friday?
I don't know.
If it's Wednesday, that's not a good day either, because they're going to go against AEW and NXT.
Maybe it was Friday. I don't remember. It's been a long time. Like, we stream everything.
I think it was Friday or Monday.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I definitely, like, I think it's a ballsy move if they do go, you know, Fridays.
There isn't a good day, let's be honest, because Thursday is NFL. And everybody knows you don't go against the NFL. That's just not smart business. There's no way.
Is there anything Tuesday anymore, though?
No. Tuesday would be open, okay. But that's pretty early in the week.
That's fine.
But yeah.
They could Saturdays? Do Tuesday.
I mean, you know there's tons of wrestling fans. Like, if they're looking for ratings, it's probably not going to hit, but like us, the on-demand crowd, that, you know, we can watch it at any time, then...
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah, that's the key.
We don't help ratings.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to watch it differently. We'll either record it. Well, I can't even record it. I don't get Access TV.
Right.
So my only option is still going to be online. I don't know if they're going to keep the deal with Twitch. I don't know if they're going to, you know, if I have to get the app. I don't know what the whole thing is. All right. What do you guys think of the fact that TNA has added Jim Cornette?
No.
And NWA.
TNA. Right?
NWA.
TNA.
Oh, it's
Impact.
NWA? Okay. Okay.
TNA's Impact.
Yes. NWA. You're right.
Okay. I might get some heat for this because people hate on Jim Cornette and his political views and his insensitive remarks and stuff. But let's be honest. He's a damn good play-by-play announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm there for, is to somebody to enhance my viewing pleasure. And I think he does it correctly. And the good thing for him is because he doesn't like to talk like luchadors. So this is like his bread and butter. Mm-hmm. This is his stuff. He likes those good old boys.
Yeah, and that's all he's going to have. And they won't have luchadors. They won't right. have Japanese. They won't have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
No gimmicks, I don't think.
But yeah, you have to admit, even watching MLW... recently, Tony Schiavone's kind of boring right now. You can tell that he's reading his stuff. Like, he says it, and it sounds like he's just reading off a piece of paper. Like, there's no enthusiasm, not like he used to do.
He was always the backup guy. Like, he was the host, but the other two talked more. Mike Tenay and Larry Zbyszko talked more.
So he was the play-by-play.
Yeah.
And the other guys were what's called the color.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that match, that Hammerstone one you were talking about, like they both weren't even there when they recorded
right.
it.
Right. It sounded like they were in separate rooms.
Yeah, or they did it at a different time and then they kind of punched them together or something. I don't know what, but yeah, it did not sound good. so, yeah, they need to do something there. Last of all, I wanted to throw out there that I was able to watch our friend's Five Meets promotion last Saturday. So I watched some Party World Wrestling. And that's some crazy shit. That is some of the craziest stuff
I've ever seen. It's a really good time, man. The fans are like so jacked up and they're so like into it. And how do you not, like, Pugginhead is so over right now.
Oh, my God, is that little puppet over. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I really like it. Oscar... definitely sells a lot. He's a good at selling.
Mm-hmm. The crowd is hot through that whole thing. I mean, the dollar beers probably don't hurt because they kept announcing they had dollar beers. But the trip was, Fred, is that we had just reviewed The Mall Friday night. And this pay-per-view was in an abandoned mall. So they start the show off, and they're like showing a camera kind of like on this big screen walking through this old mall, and they get to the center where the stairs are going up in different directions, just like the comic book. I'm like, I'm in the freaking comic book that we just reviewed. I felt like I was literally watching the comic book. And then characters come out. They were like the mall goss, and they had the food court people, and they had all these different like things. I'm like, oh, man, this is like the comic book we read. What are the odds?
Yeah.
So that added to my enjoyment, too, of all the craziness
and
that goes
you
on
found
there.
Out that Pugginhead is a real boy.
Yes, I did find out that Pugginhead is a real boy.
Yeah.
The women love Pugginhead. Yeah. He's over with the ladies.
He is
There's
way
no doubt
over.
About it.
Definitely way over.
So, but definitely, I suggest the next time it comes out, maybe I'll post it. Like sure everyone knows, give it a watch. It's on Twitch.
Yeah. What is it called?
Party World Wrestling.
Party World Wrestling, yeah.
But they only do 4 a year, so we're not going to see another one until, like, I think December or November or something like that.
Yeah, and then it's on Twitch, too, right? That's how I watched it the very first time. When Puggin had lost his belt, so I'm probably bad luck. So, but
yeah, he was still sad. He didn't want to wrestle this time because he was still getting over. But some guy, I forgot the guy's name right now. He forced him into a fight.
The train guy, right?
No. He wasn't the train. The train thing. Okay, so Pugginhead was sad, and Uncle or Tio Juan took him to the mall to ride the train to raise his spirits. So he was there to ride the train, and the crowd kept yelling, "Ride that train, ride that train." So that's what he was there for, just to ride the train and have a good day. And then this other guy came out, and I can't remember his name right now, and he like bullied him and said he wasn't any good and all this stuff. And so Pugginhead finally fought him and beat him. But then he got jumped afterwards, and Tio Juan got jumped pretty bad. And then they ran him over with a train. So Pugginhead is in critical condition, last I heard.
Man, that's messed up.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
So, but good stuff. So that's all I have this week. I know I'm ending on a crazy note like that, but
no, I'm telling you, before like we sign off or anything, like I watched Party World Wrestling, and it was amazing the first time I watched it. Like, it's really funny. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that some people might term like inappropriate for like children. I don't know if that tag team was there that wears the mask. I forget what they're called, but they had the belts. It's a man and a woman. Did they wrestle?
Yes. Yeah.
And
I think so.
And they were a little vulgar and stuff, and things could, you know, somebody could, you know, like the kids could take it wrong way or something. Yeah. But yeah, man, it was a really good time. I like the pizza guy. I like
feral pigs.
Yeah.
The food court people, she had two feral pigs with her, so they had like the snouts.
Yeah.
She was riding the pigs. Yeah, there's some
and I love
stuff.
What did they say? Hail Mother Worm.
Hail Mother Worm. Yeah. Yeah, they have an MC. I told you that reminded me of like right out of Rocky Horror Picture.
Yeah, it's really good, man. It's done really well. And yeah, I highly suggest if you're into indie wrestling, check it out. And also check out Oscar and Rolando's books, Five Meats books, like Mesh, Bone and Grifty and Lemon Pepper. Those are two titles that they have. Issue 4 is coming out soon, I heard.
Yeah, he's working on it. He was posting the other day. He was working on it. Yeah. So, very cool. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I mean, they're the ultimate. Oscar is wrestling in independent comics.
Yeah, we stole your gimmick, Oscar, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's the real deal. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for this week. Don't forget that we are now members of the Nerdy Legion, so that's where you can find us. You can go to nerdylegion.com, and you look for Indie Alley, and you can subscribe there, or you can subscribe at whatever your favorite podcast app is. Use that, and you can download our show. Check us out. All the new listeners, I hope you liked us. I hope you came back. If you did, leave us those 5-star reviews. We love 5-star reviews because Joey needs video game time.
You know? What?
Yeah, every 5-star review, Joey gets 5-star frog splashed by me. Yep. So if you want to see some violence, go ahead. We'll post it.
You can find me at Real Comics. You can find Fred at Fred Reads Comics on Twitter. And you can find our page at Indie Alley. We also have Nerds From. That's our other show, Nerds from the Underground, which we just dropped one Wednesday. The guys get together and they go into a deep dive about a couple of trades so they can get a little deeper. We don't have to worry about spoilers. They can just really talk about a book that's been out for a while and give a deep
The past discussion. Episode was they covered Death Orb and Bitterroot. So you can listen to Chris and Johnny talk about that.
We'll kind of shuffle that crew up a bit and maybe get more than two people in there once we kind of get our stuff settled here. But yeah, lots of fun. But I guess that's it for today.
Yeah, and just remember, wrestling's real, people are fake.
We out.